Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right, Jim and Jamal Potts back on the air again. And as always, thank you so much for sharing your Sunday afternoon and your Sunday evening with us, depending on where you are. Jamal, how you doing today, man?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. Not too bad for a Sunday.
Good, good. Hey, we got some things we're going to want to cover today. But first, I've got a shout out. And I'm sending a shout out to my agent and my publicist. They gave us a date for my book that's coming out. It is on May 11th, so mark your calendars. Defense of a serial killer, defending a serial killer. Barnes & Noble has already started placing orders, so we're happy about that. So I will keep you posted. The other thing I want to do, Jamal, you have any shout-outs real quick before I...
Yeah, man. I want to shout out to you, man. Congratulations on, having another book release coming out, man. And congratulations. I'm proud of you for that, man, and keep working and keep grinding. And I know you stay busy on your projects, man.
Well, so, hey, I appreciate that, Jamal. Thanks a lot, man. I do appreciate it. I got a blast, Jamal. Before I get into my blast, do you have a blast or this week?
I actually got a blast. I kind of want to mention this, and there's a war going on right now in the streets in the hip hop community, and I know you don't keep up with hip hop and stuff, but it's very alarming. It's very tragic. Multiple rappers have been in like a real gang related feud going on. Two in the past couple weeks were shot and killed. Another one was just wounded visiting the body of another a rapper. And this has gotten out of hand and it's gotten out of control, man. And hopefully they could bring some peace and civility to this situation, because it's very alarming. This is like, you know, Tupac and Biggie had the thing back in 96 or, you know, in the 90s and stuff like that. But this seems like it's far worse.
You know what I don't understand, Jamal? And I didn't know you were going to bring that up. Here's the thing I don't understand. Where's the outcry? I mean, you hear all this other stuff that's out there with the outcry on, you know, white police officers shooting, you know, black civilians. And yet, we are so confronted with these issues and with these people of the African American community that shoot and kill each other. I mean, the other day I'm watching the news in Chicago, and here this little 12-year-old boy got shot. This is all inner city stuff. So I really don't understand why that occurs. I mean, if they're going to bond together, they got to bond together. So where's the outcry, you know, for that piece?
I think you're right. I think there should be an even balance. We shouldn't, you know what I mean? Because otherwise it seems like you're almost condoning it if you don't speak out against it just as much as you do police brutality and stuff like that.
Jamal, and, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, these young men are like in their early 30s. A lot of this coming out of Chicago. There's some, the guy, Mo3, he was shot and killed in Dallas on the freeway. Running on the freeway. He got out the car, they chased him down and shot him in the back of the head on the freeway. You know, the other one was in Atlanta. And, you know, and it's still like an ongoing situation that there's a lot of fear right now among other people that got a bounty out on other rappers behind these incidents.
And these are blacks killing blacks. And we don't hear where, and Jamal, I'm trying to stay away from some of this political stuff. But Jamal, the cities that you're talking about are all democratically controlled cities. The mayor.
No, I said.
You said Dallas and Atlanta.
I don't know if Dallas is.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, you can check it out. Fact check it. Okay. The point of the story is that where is the outcry from these politicians from those areas? You don't hear about that because they don't want to bring the bad news out to the public, Jamal, especially around the election time. But I this stuff is hypocritical to me.
Right.
You know, the police officer got killed in, I think it was Arkansas. Yesterday or the day before. And where's the outcry for that? You know, the suspect was black. Okay. He's been arrested. Two of them have been arrested, actually. And, you know, you look at those things and say, why isn't the media even covering this? I'm talking about certain media. It's not all media. I don't know. Whatever, man. Okay. Yeah. Well, I appreciate what you had to say. The blast that I have is something that's hypocritical as well. Now, in Portland, Jamal, where they had all of these issues, as an example, with defund the police. Okay, and we're going to be talking about defunding today a little bit more in detail. But that's what they did. They defunded the police. Now, I don't want to get her name wrong. They got a city commissioner up there by the name of Joanne Hardesty. Now, she's African-American. She was one that was very, outspoken regarding defunding the police, et cetera, Jamal, and coming up with this business about 911 calls and how these things need to be handled. They need to be, 911 calls have to be critical, and things of that nature, right? Well, listen to this. This same woman called 911, this is a couple of days ago, when a Lyft driver canceled her ride after she complained about a cracked window. Now, it's a Lyft driver, Jamal.
Right.
Under the guidelines, for the company guidelines, and it might even be a state regulation, okay, with this, that they have to leave the windows cracked. This is because of COVID, obviously.
Right. Correct?
Because they don't know the person getting in the car. The crack in the window, Jamal, was only the size of the thickness of a pencil. So just to get, clarification.
Right.
She turns around and the driver is telling her, I guess, that, hey, listen, this is a regulation. I have to leave the window cracked. And she's giving this guy all of this nonsense. He turns around and pulls over to a gas station and basically says, hey, you know what? You're going to have to basically get out. Because he's trying to do his regulation and she's chomping in his ear. She turns around and calls 911 over this, that he won't, right. This business about this cracked window. And so she's refused to get out of the car. She calls 911. You know what her logic was for calling 911?
What?
She says her logic for calling 911 was because if she didn't call 911, he would have called 911. And if he had called 911, she felt that her life would be in jeopardy when the police arrived because somebody was calling 911 on her.
Right.
That was her logic.
It's important to keep some of these narratives going for some people, man, for some of these politicians. But I actually, I think this is, a good example of why there should be some kind of police restructure, this situation. Because in my opinion, the police don't need to be responding to nonsense like this. I think there should be another organization. I don't want to say like a security guard group or security patrol group or something along that lines that responds to petty stuff like this. I think our law enforcement should be responding to like actual emergencies. This is not even an emergency.
Okay, well, let me just tell you. I was talking about the hypocrisy of it, but let me just tell you. The dispatcher told her that technically it's in his property and there's no crime involved. So she was told that there's no crime here.
Right.
Okay. But she said she wasn't going to get out of the car. Okay. Because she said, well, to put a woman out in the dark. Well, first of all, it was at a gas station, not the dark. But she was the one complaining about the cracked window. Why not just live with it until she got to her destination? I mean, how far could it have been? But Jamal, you're bringing up something else. Let me just tell you something. You're saying there has to be restructure for this. The problem is that, and as you know, Jamal, those are things that we complain about, even when I was on the force, about these calls that we have to respond to that are, I don't want to use the terminology nothing calls, okay? But you're right. So that's why we put calls in priorities, all right? Now, if we're not doing anything, it's not really a big deal. But in the same token, when these people are talking about, I'd say we're going to be talking about defunding the police, but from a different perspective. When these people talk about these low calls like you're talking about right now, Jamal, they may not know until they get there the true nature of the call. Then what do you do? You could send somebody into an environment where the people on the other end don't want to talk to these people. They look at them and say, who are you? You follow what I'm saying? because right. they call 911? Or is it going to be another number, you know, other than 911 serious calls and 911 non-serious calls? And then who makes up the list for that? Who's going to sit down and say, okay, these are the calls to send this way. These are the calls to send that way.
Well, you know, I've been working, I'm not going to stay on this too long, but, you know, I've been working in Hollywood lately. And where I work in Hollywood, they have a system kind of set up like that. Because, you know, as we know, there's a lot of poverty, there's a lot of crime. So what they have is like a city patrol group. So when somebody calls, the city patrol responds to those calls first, and then they determine if the police should be called to the scene.
Yeah.
It's an interesting kind of setup that actually works, in my opinion.
I'd be interested to see how long they've been around. Because
they've
been
around for a while, yeah.
What's for a while? Years?
Yeah, they've been around for a few years. They even have bike patrols that ride up and down the streets and take care of a lot of those calls.
I'm familiar with the bike patrols. And work, Jamal, with patrols can work well in a city, Jamal, environment, in a city environment. How does that work in a rural environment? Because, see, calls come in from, ain't nobody going to be on some bicycle going out to 5 miles out. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
So the area could make a difference with this as well.
Oh, true. But it's not the rural areas that's asking for defunding the police, is it? Because it seems like these are all major cities that these are happening.
You're talking about Portland, the outskirts of Portland. Look at L.A. City, Jamal. Look how big L.A. City is.
Yeah, that's the city. Right.
You know, it's out there. Well, look, we're getting off the track, okay?
Okay, yeah.
But let me just say, it's always going to be controversial, Jamal, because trust me. Something's going to be happen in terms of the way it was handled. And let me tell you something. People will sue Jamal. So they didn't handle it the way. It's any and all of that. So we'll just wait and see. We'll talk about the defunding a little bit more. Let's get into these emails. Jim, I don't know if you have been paying attention, but there are 16 Republican women that have been elected so far to the House. Those are incredible numbers. Is this a trend? I'm curious of your opinion. Tess from Irvine, California. Tess, I have been following that. And actually, there have now been, I think the count is up to 11 women, actually, that have been either elected or reelected into Congress, into the House. And I think those are incredible numbers. And you know what? I sit up there, hey, I'll clap. I'll applaud that situation to see more women, you know, getting involved in government. Hell, maybe they can help get some of that stuff straightened out. I mean, the guys have been at it so long, maybe they'll bring some level-headedness. And I think that, it's nice to have some fresh-thinking people in there. And these women are the ones that are getting elected. There's only one guy that I understand that got elected. The rest were all women. And I think that's incredible. And, you know, with this 11 that I just mentioned, there was actually also two or three more that may actually get in. The results are still pending, et cetera. And I believe those are all women also. So my point is that I agree with you, Tess. I think that is, you know, a trend. We now have the first female vice president, and more women are getting involved in politics and not sitting back. So listen, I don't care. I just want to see people that are going to come in and get things done. So males versus females, doesn't matter. The guys at the time getting involved, you know. So, I've noticed a trend. Tess, we'll see if it's a trend. And the midterm elections are coming up, and that'll be another story to tell. That's in 2 years. Jamal, what do you think about more women in politics?
I think it's great. I think it's fantastic, man. Especially when you consider all wars this world has ever seen has been started by men anyway. You know what I mean? So maybe we do need to change our thinking, you know? So, you know, not change our thinking, but change the structure and add more women in there and add some balance. I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, look, nothing beats a failure but a try. So getting more women in there, as far as I'm concerned, I just don't think that that's a bad thing, Tess. So we'll just have to wait and see. But, yeah, right now, yes, I did notice it, and that's an incredible number. So we'll just wait and see what happens. Jim, what is your opinion about Giuliani and his saying he can reverse the election based upon the evidence? Trump needs to pack his bags, put his ego to the side, and go home. Now we hear he might even run again in 2024. What are your thoughts? Jake from Sacramento. Jamal, I'll ask you, what are your thoughts on that?
Didn't Trump's lawyers pack up and leave Pennsylvania? That's what I... didn't they... You know, that's, that was the latest that I had heard, that they packed up and said, you know what, this is ridiculous.
Did they do that?
So, yeah, some of his lawyers left.
They may have left, but...
Because they didn't find nothing substantially wrong that would change that would move the needle to his favor. You know what I mean? Are there going to be a couple flaws in voting? Absolutely. You know what I mean? But overall, it's not enough to move the needle. And, you know, once again, he's just a spoiled rich kid crying. Just be fair. I'm not a Trump fan, but the dude overachieved, okay? He did something with a lot of people that think he could do, and he's going to be forever president number 45.
Right.
You won. Bye. It's time to go, man.
Like, well, what do you think about, because they're asking about their thoughts on his possibly running in 2024.
I hope not, man. I really hope not, man. I really hope not, man.
You know, Jamal, I put a tweet out this morning. By the way, everybody, you know, I'm on Twitter as well, and I do put out tweets about this. So if you want to get on the email blasts, for one thing, which is Listen Up with JP at PottsandAssociates.com. So that's Listen Up with JP at PottsandAssociates.com. That will give you an opportunity to know what the topics are before we, you know, before Sunday. And in terms of the Twitter, just go to Jim Potts, author. Go to Jim Potts, author, and you'll find me. And that if you want to get text Potts Associates to 22828 and enter your email address. So anybody that wants to try to get the upcoming blogs, text Potts Associates to 22828 and enter your email address. All right. At any rate, look, getting back on the subject. So Jamal, I'm with you. Okay.
You know, I got a solution, man. You know, they're not doing nothing with Alcatraz Island, man. And we could make him president of Alcatraz Island, and all of his minions and his followers could go live on that island with him, or surround that little island with houseboats. And that okay, way they can get what they want, man.
First of all,
they're fearless leader.
First of all, 75, whatever the number was, million people voted for him. So I don't think you're going to get 75 million people on Alcatraz. That's the first thing. look, here's the deal. People have their rights with all of this stuff and who they want. You know what I'm saying? And they should not be called deplorables or chumps or any of these other things as well. So, you know, everybody's got their right for that. And the problem is that when people start separating people out, you know, under this kind of thing, you know, I don't know. You're not going to get that many people on there. Now, here's the other deal. I don't think that he, and I tweeted this morning that I think there's what we seriously need are in this next presidential election run, Jamal. I think we need to have some serious, strong people on both sides so that the presidential election does not boil down to process of elimination. You follow what I'm saying? And I think, I think the last two have boiled down to process of elimination for some people.
I think you hit the nail on the head with that one, man. I really believe that the only reason why Trump won is because people literally hated Hillary so much and how corrupt she was. I think the reason why Trump lost is because the growing hatred for Trump. Mm-hmm. And it's like the last couple presidencies been won by default, pretty much, in my opinion.
Yep. Well, at any rate, you know, I'm getting tweets, Jamal, and correcting you about the wars, by the way. Cleopatra, war started over Cleopatra, and then there was also Troy. But, you know, some of that basic history stuff that goes back.
Over Cleopatra. Did she start the war?
At any rate, let's not get off into that, into ancient history and the rest of it. I just thought I mentioned that to you.
Did Troy really happen? I thought that was just a myth.
You mean with the Trojan horse and all of that?
Yeah.
That one?
Is that real?
I think it was, Jamal.
I thought it was always like a mythical story. But
I don't know, man. Don't get me started. Let's keep moving. So at any rate, Jack, what are our thoughts? Our thoughts are, no, I think that, you know, that Donald Trump did, you know, a phenomenal job getting himself elected. Personally, I do not want to see Donald Trump in the White House in 2024. I think we need to have some other fresh thinking people, you know, at that time. And, you know, I think he should move on. That's not to say that he you know, some of these presidents also become parts of their party. So I think that he should stay active with the Republican Party. I think that he opened the door for more minorities voting, Jamal. That's, I mean, he had more numbers for the minorities than I think since Ronald Reagan. I think it was Reagan. Anyway, the point of the story is I think he should stay somewhat involved, but not to run for president again. Nobody, it's like Hillary running again. Don't run again. Just, you know.
Right. Go live away. Life.
Oh, did you hear the Hillary Clinton, maybe the UN ambassador also? Yeah, they may be appointing Hillary Clinton under the Biden administration, you know, as a UN ambassador. At any rate, whatever. Okay, third is always screaming the right is violent. They are. Look at all of the incidents before the election, all from the left. Now, there were peaceful Trump supporters in Washington, D.C., doing a support march, and they were attacked by the left. They are hypocritical. How hypocritical is that? And the person signed it, Just Venting, and that was signed by Christine from Yucaipa, California. Yucaipa is kind of out there. You got, as a matter of fact, that's out there past you, I think, Jamal, on the way to Palm.
Yeah.
I think. That's way out there. But at any rate, look, I understand you're venting. And there's some validity to that. That people always talking about the fact that they were just peacefully marching in support of the president, their person. Why should they be attacked? You know, I think that that is wrong, quite honestly. You know, it would be the same way if the Biden supporters got, quote unquote, attacked.
Hey man, didn't the Biden-Harris presidential bus get ran off the road with these Trump supporters surrounding the bus and chasing them down? What about the Charlottesville incident?
Look, here's the deal. Look at all of that violence that happened, Jamal. I'm not saying that there couldn't have been an incident. You follow what I'm saying? Or two incidents or whatever. And I don't know that this person is saying that. But I'm saying all of those burnings of the buildings and all of those things, Jamal, there was much more of those than what you're talking about. You're naming two, okay? And you keep coming back to this Charlotte thing with this guy. Look, that's an individual. This other stuff has been groups of people, not one guy that gets in his car and drives from one state and runs somebody over, whatever the case may be. So I don't know, whatever. Okay. I think it's hypocritical, you know, what the person was saying? Yes. I think it's hypocritical. I think anybody has a right to march, Jamal. So anybody should be attacking them because they don't agree with that person's choice in terms of who they want to vote for or have voted for. We'll leave it like that. Unless you have anything else you want to add to that.
No, sir.
Okay. Jamal, let's talk about this thing about defunding the police. Now, all of this started with George Floyd. The George Floyd incident was horrible, no doubt about it. So Minneapolis was very upset. Defund the police, defund the police. Derek Chauvin, the police officer, was arrested. He's going to be going through a trial, the whole nine yards. All right. So why, just because of that, and we've talked about defunding the police before. So that started a national campaign, basically, about defunding the police. Now, a lot of people have spoken out against that, saying, wait a second, I'm not favoring that.
Let me make a correction, man. This is not just about George Floyd. This is years of Tamir Rice, you know what I mean, incident. This goes on and on and on and on. You know what I mean? Now, was George Floyd the straw that broke the camel's back? Probably so.
That's the point that I'm making here, Jamal. I'm saying that Minneapolis was the catalyst, though, not whether or not, you know, whether they just looked at George Floyd and other incidents. I understand about the other incidents, but again, I'll go back and say those incidents in terms of percentages are very, very small, but that's besides the point. I'm only saying that Minneapolis is the one where this caught fire, so to speak, that let's defund the police, all right? So they were big advocates about it, all right? So is what I want to say is that, well, Minneapolis, Jamal, and then police officers to come in now to help them because they defunded the police. Some of them left, all kinds of different things. So now they need 100 police officers to come back. Now, isn't that just a little hypocritical?
No, it's not hypocritical at all. People are allowed to reevaluate situations. You know what I mean? And sometimes we all know There's a lot of people who make decisions and say things based on their emotions, you know, in a time when things are really heated. So when cooler heads prevail, they get, you know, at some point, people come to their senses and start reevaluating certain situations. And I think that's fair to do for anybody, is to reevaluate.
Well, let's look at the numbers.
Situation, circumstances.
Okay, let's look at the facts. Minneapolis wants to draft in cops from local sheriff's offices and transit authority. Next one. Dozens of officers quit in the wake of the defund the police moves. Okay. Violent crimes have spiked with 74 homicides so far this year. I'm sorry. Yeah. 74 homicides so far this year compared to 49 for the entire year of 2019. At the start of the year, the Minneapolis Police Department force, they gave the numbers and everything. There's been a drastic cut, to make a long story short. Now, other bullet points. Minneapolis is scrambling to draft in cops from the outside the city's force to help fight a wave of violent crimes, Jamal. Violent crimes. The city is pleading for reinforcements from the sheriff's office and transit authority. It comes after dozens of officers quit, like I just said. Now, they're talking about how these violent crimes in the city have soared. What do you think is going to happen when you start talking about the fact that, you know, that the fact that, you know, you're losing your police force, you're defunding your police force, which means you're either reducing it down or whatever the case may be. People are getting upset on the force themselves. They don't feel appreciated. And in fact, they turn around and leave. So the numbers of police officers dwindle down. So what do you think that the criminals are going to do? They're not going to, they're going to applaud that kind of move, because
your opportunity.
Exactly. So, and you know what? Many people said that if you do this, crimes are going to increase, and that's exactly what has happened. So since then, violent crimes in the city have soared. Homicides, robbery, aggravated assault, burglaries, theft, and arson are all up from last year. And I've got some additional figures for you on this, you know, as well. Now, they call this, okay, so in July, they stripped $1 million in funding, Jamal, from the police officers and used it to fund violence interrupters. Violence interrupters, Jamal. It's like, okay, what the heck is a violence interrupter? So these people that are psychologically trained or whatever the case may be, come on. Some of those people, they're not going to want to go into any hotbed situations. And what happens if they get hurt or killed in the process? They're not even armed. These aren't people that are going to be armed.
Right.
All right. Now, let's say, now, one of the council members said, we're barely able to cover the shifts that they have. They don't even have now, Jamal, enough police officers to cover the shifts in Minneapolis. You know, right. I mean, that to me is absolutely ridiculous. And I'm going to get to some more stats on this as well. Let's see. They have violent crimes, including domestic aggravated assault, was up 15% in the first 9 months of this year. Prop crime was rose 37%. Aggravated assaults increased 20%. Burglaries increased 25%. Thefts from motor vehicles increased by 26%, and auto thefts increased by 40%. People stealing cars increased by 40%.
Now, let me ask you a question, because you were saying that, you know, it's them being hit, you know, them being hypocrites now saying, so, I mean, don't you think it's fair that instead of sticking with what wasn't working, to go back and reevaluate the situation?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, okay. I'm not arguing about that.
Right.
Jamal, what I am saying is that from the beginning, people said don't do that because that was going to have a negative impact. The people in some of those inner cities were telling them don't do that. It'll be interesting in the next election cycle that comes around how many of those people are going to end up getting reelected. So that'll be an interesting point to see as well. The other thing that they're talking about, amid the shortage of officers, other groups, Jamal, have actually had to step up to fill the gap. Listen to this. A group of armed black men protecting neighborhoods in north of the city. So now they've got armed civilians to protect their neighborhoods. How are you going to deal with that as a city? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Hold on a second. Let me see what's. I see we got a phone call coming in. Hello.
Yeah, Jim. Hi, Jim from Jersey.
Hey, Jersey. Hey. Oh man, I thought we'd get through another week without you, Jim. I'm just teasing, man.
I don't know.
How you doing?
Oh no. Oh, okay. How you doing?
All right.
Listen, I know you're talking about the defunding the police. Well, I made it clear Joe Biden has said he's against that. You know, I don't know why they started that defunding the police and it ended up being a bad idea. And what he wanted to do was get a meeting of the minds and bring in all that, you know, police and also Black Lives Matter people and all that stuff, and then come up with national standards, that type of thing. As an example, like a ban on all on chokeholds, which now exists in some states like New York. But he's not against.
Jim, just to be clear, we weren't even talking about Joe Biden. I kept it down to the bare minimum. I mean, President Trump, I had feelings about that and said, don't defund the police. I mean, so they're both on the same page.
Right.
I mean, that's a common sense approach.
Yeah, that's the far left. I mean, they tend to go to extremes. And that, to me, that's an extreme. But, you know, listening to you guys talking about the election, what do you think now that the election is over? And by the way, that they should have left those protesters alone yesterday. The Trump protest, the far left, just the election's over. Let them do whatever they want.
Right.
I don't know why they even bothered wasting their time. It's done, finished.
I agree.
But what do you guys feel? What do you guys think about the fact that Trump is doing something that no other president has ever done? Is he's not conceding the election. He's not allowing the Biden team access to security briefings. And or information about the plans to distribute the vaccine, which would occur in Biden's administration once they start. What do you guys think about that?
Well, first of all, I think, Jim, that you're bringing up some additional issues here. So in terms of the vaccine, you know what I found personally interesting is why was it Pfizer? I think I'm pronouncing it the right way. They knew before
Pfizer.
Pfizer. They knew before the election, Jim, yet they didn't even announce it until after the election. So to me, they did that. They didn't release it because that was a political move because they didn't want Trump. Okay. And I think that's wrong. I think
Trump would have taken credit for it, which he had nothing to do with.
Well, wait a minute. Now, when you say he didn't have anything to do with it, that's not true.
He would have taken credit for it.
Jim, you want to let me finish? Or are you going to talk over me?
Go ahead.
He's the one that created Warp Speed. He's the one that got these people moving with all of this. So if he got credit for it, he got credit. Jim, he's still going to get credit for it. Biden's not in office yet. So if the vaccine happens, the vaccine happens, okay? Look, and if the vaccine doesn't happen until Biden gets in office and the vaccine works, any president sitting in office, they're going to take credit for anything that's working. So, and that's fair. It is what it is, okay? So I think what's important out of it, it's not what he said, didn't say, when it came out. Ultimately, does it work? Okay, and if it works, get it to the American people so it can save lives and help people not get it. I'm sorry, we got so far into that. What you made another comment. What was the other comment? Oh, in terms of the information.
The transition.
Yeah, personally, I think that I think that they should work with the transition team, Jim. That's a national security issue, in my opinion. And as you know, avid listener, okay, I'm all about, you know, national security and things of that nature. And I think that I don't think we should be compromised with that. Joe Biden has been in politics for 47 years, and I think that he's not a risk at all. I don't think that's a problem. Now, you're talking about conceding the election, Jim. Hillary Clinton has still not conceded the election. She never conceded when she lost.
Do you believe she did?
No. Jim, come on, man. As Joe Biden would say, come on, man. She never conceded that election.
I think she did swallow.
What are you talking about? I saw a video of her conceding.
She did? Okay.
Yes.
Maybe I'm wrong.
She did. She did. Trump
has wrong on that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Trump will concede this election before the end of by January. in my opinion. Yeah, they got all this legal stuff going on. You already, if you've been listening to the show, which I know you have been, I don't agree with all these lawsuits and stuff. Okay. So at some point, you know, this, he's going to come out, in my opinion. Watch my words. He's going to come out and concede the election. Okay. That's not to say
these lawsuits. Good. I was going to say these lawsuits prove frivolous. Every lawsuit they file, they've been thrown out.
Jim, I've already said, from my perspective, I think the lawsuits are a bunch of nonsense, okay?
Sure.
You know, this thing about Giuliani says that it's all going to get reversed. Come on. We're so sick of all of this. You know, his time is up, okay? His time is up. You know, whether we want it to be or not is a different issue. You know, people that voted for him don't want it, but the American people are just tired of all of this. Now, Jim, I will say this. If there's a legitimate issue that certain, you know, people were kept out from being able to view, if there was, Jim, okay, I'm not saying that there was, but there's legal issues that probably need to be addressed so it doesn't happen in the future. So if there have been any violations that need to be addressed so that in the future these things don't happen, then I say finalize that, get a clarification on that so that moving forward, we don't have to go through that again. You know, that's how I look at it. But, you know, some of these, it's not going to change the outcome of the election with some of this. Biden's got too many, he's got too many votes ahead of him in some of these places.
That's right.
You know, so.
Any irregularities in an election only make a difference when it's very, very close. And even then, irregularities don't amount to a hell of a lot of votes.
Right. And I agree with that. Jim, I appreciate you calling in on that, man. So, I appreciate it. I'm going to get to another subject matter here.
Go ahead. Before you run out of time, hurry up.
Exactly. Thank you, sir. All right.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Care,
bye.
Jim.
All right.
Bye.
You know, Seattle, Jamal, was going through the same thing, actually. This city council approved a plan to defund the police, you know, department / jobs and salaries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not going to beat it into the ground. Again, I think that the majority of the people don't want that to happen. That's a situation where it looks like hopefully this stuff's all going to get reversed. We need law enforcement, but I don't disagree with the fact that we need people. And let me just say, people always say you need to have the proper training. We don't train people for this stuff. Well, LA County Sheriff's Department doesn't anyway. You know, all these police departments don't train people to do these things. So when they say they need to have training, they get the training. Some of these guys make independent judgments sometimes, either through emotions, the circumstances. I can't explain it. Some of this stuff is stupid. You know, nobody has ever trained a police officer to shoot a suspect in the back when he's running away. That doesn't happen that way. So any final thoughts on the defunding the police? Because I want to get into this other piece too.
No, we can move on.
Okay, look, my concern is Joe Biden with this business about on his first day in office. He intends to lift the travel ban that Trump put in place regarding all of these countries that could pose a threat to us nationally. They call it the Muslim ban. Okay, but that's what they call it. But the countries that he put this travel ban on are countries, in my opinion, that potentially could cause us an issue from an international terrorism standpoint. Now, look, we get domestic terrorism here and we get the international terrorism. Okay, it's like both. All right. My concern is if he does that, are we going to have a problem? Now, as you know, this radio podcast that we do started out, I'm very big on national security, international terrorism, domestic terrorism, et cetera. But I think that I have a concern with that. Now, Trump imposed the travel restrictions, okay, for a reason. And he did it with Iran, Libya, Somalia, Syria, and Yemen. A lot of those places, and then later on he did Venezuela and North Korea. These are people that are not necessarily friendly. We're not talking about friendly Muslims, okay? So everybody from these countries, Jamal, I would agree, are not terrorists.
All right? Right.
But when you start letting people back in with these travel bans, people do slip in. Now, I can tell you that part of this, even coming up through the southern borders, that secure that we have caught people from these countries, Jamal, trying to slip in, you know, as opposed to coming, you know, and through the other, you know, routes, et cetera. Now, I mean, would you agree? What do you think? I think you
brought up an interesting point, because I think it was a misunderstanding with a lot of people when they call it a travel ban or Muslim ban. That there were, I mean, one, there are a lot of Muslim countries.
Right.
So, and the restrictions were based on about, what, 5 or 6 countries you just named only.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So it wasn't like all of the Muslim countries was completely banned.
Right.
And I think there was like a very big misunderstanding about that.
Well, look, I don't like the fact that he says on day one, this is what I'm going to do. Look, why don't you wait? Okay, why does that have to be done on day one? And there's Muslims living all around the world. So, you know, they want to paint this picture that Trump is anti-Muslim. It's not that he's anti-Muslim. He made it very clear when he ran for president and while he was president that he was concerned about the security of this nation and making sure. And he pushed that the whole time he was in office. I mean, wouldn't you agree with that?
You know what? I'll tell you something that's very interesting that you probably didn't know this, man. You know, Louis Farrakhan, who's Muslim with the Nation of Islam, he actually said that it was a very wise decision on Trump's part to make these travel bans. And him being Muslim says a lot. You know, he says a lot. You know, it's one of the one things he agreed with, because there was so much hatred for America from these countries that it would only be smart at the time to do that. So Joe Biden lifting these things, I don't know if he's checking the temperature or what it's based on. Is it based on because it hasn't been any activity? Things might have died down. I don't know.
Okay, let's talk about that, Jamal, because let me tell you, you see what's going on in Paris right now. Paris is under siege, okay, with these terror attacks, and specifically Muslims right now. They got people moving out of Paris. It's so bad right now.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. This has all been within the last few weeks, Jamal. Last two or three weeks, whatever it's been. So they're having some serious problems, okay, right now. Why? Jamal, they got open borders. They're in Europe. Trump is trying to control those kind of things. Now, I'm going to bring something else up. I'm going to kind of read this because I want this to be right. In 2019, the United States and their partners made major strides to defeat and degrade international terrorist organizations, along with the global coalition to defeat ISIS. In March of this year, of 2019, the United States completed the destruction of the so-called caliphate in Iraq and Iran. Remember something, Jamal? President Obama called ISIS a JV team. They never should have been called that.
He did. He mishandled it.
Trump is the one that came in and basically got them running. I mean, they are, you know, for all practical purposes, I don't want to say they're out of business, because they're not out of business, but they're nowhere near where they used to be. And it's what we don't want to do is to bring that back. Trump was really aggressive with that. He even under his watch, killed some of the leaders as well. One of them was Baghdadi. He was the head of ISIS, and he got killed under the Trump administration. So, in my opinion, look, we got to be careful with this. Osama bin Laden's son, okay, who was the next one to step up for Al-Qaeda, he got killed under the Trump administration. Now, let's just go back in time, okay, because under Obama...
Don't forget the general also.
Oh, and the general, that's right. Exactly. Thank you, Jamal. That's exactly right. Now, I'll tell you something else. Under the Obama administration, Jamal, they had 8 Islamic terror attacks that could have been prevented in this country. 8 of them, okay? They didn't have that under the Trump administration. Why? Their viewpoints are different on this, all right? So they had one, I'll read them to you. San Bernardino, December 2015, 14 killed, 22 wounded. You know that. San Bernardino's out there by you.
Okay. Right.
Chattanooga, Tennessee, July 2015, 5 killed, 2 wounded. Let's see. Garland, Texas. You know, one of the killers at a Draw Muhammad contest was reportedly on a no-fly list for terror-related offense. A no-fly list, Jamal. That means he flew over here. You follow what I'm saying? So you look at these things and say, okay, you know, Biden was part of the Obama administration. I don't know what responsibility he had or didn't have, but come on, you know, Obama is probably still going to be advising, I think, Joe Biden. You know how close they are. I don't know what they're going to come up with this. The Boston Marathon, April 2013, that was on Obama's watch. Benghazi, that was also on Obama's watch. Fort Hood, Texas. You remember Fort Hood? And then, you know, with that one, President Obama tried to say that was a workplace incident. Workplace incident, you're talking Fort Hood, 13 people killed. So, and the other one, it was Little Rock, Arkansas, all right, in June 2009. So my point is that I'm only concerned with the things that we're looking out for national security, Jamal. I'm just kind of concerned about that piece of what Biden, I'm not objecting to some of the other things that Biden is talking about, but this one I'm concerned about.
Right. Now, I will say this, under George Bush is when 9/11 happened, of course, as we all know, you know, and when we talk about giving credit where credit is due, you know, Obama was the one, the president in office who eliminated Osama bin Laden. And even after he once again revisited the idea that he might have been, that he was not might have been, that he was wrong about ISIS, they eliminated a number of the heads of their people also. So, Barack Obama did eliminate a lot of those foreign enemies also with airstrikes and drone strikes and things like that. Now, some of the stuff, you know, we've talked about in the past that America's biggest fear are lone wolf people. And like the Boston bomber, we talking about lone wolf people. There's nothing you could do about that. The guy from Fort Hood, Texas, he was actually one of our military members that committed those crimes. So, we are in agreement that there's nothing you could do. And I don't think one person should be blamed for that. Even though it was under their watch, they're lone wolves. Lone wolves are the most dangerous people in our country because we don't know what they'll do and when they'll strike.
Okay, by way of comment, Jamal, I have done, I don't know how many shows talking about lone wolf terrorists.
Right.
I'm very familiar with lone wolves.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's the one thing. Let's go back to 9/11. 9/11, Jamal, is basically how, I want to say how all of this started, but it really started before that. It started when Osama bin Laden, okay, with the underground, with the subway, underneath the World Trade Center. Okay, and the parking structure. So this is not the first time that we were hit with that. But those are sporadic incidents. What made 9/11 so bad, Jamal, was because that was a major thing with these airplanes, et cetera. But Jamal, that woke everybody up to how serious this could be. So I don't hold Bush accountable for that. Okay, because I think that's a lot different. Okay, for one thing. Okay, now you mentioned about Obama. Osama bin Laden was killed on Barack Obama's watch. Well, let's just be clear. The search and everything, Jamal, and them finding him was in place before Obama got in office. That was years of research. It just so happens that at the time they were ready to, quote unquote, excuse the expression, pull the trigger, it happened to be on Obama's watch. But Obama was still president, Jamal. So I say, look, you know what? Under the Obama administration, he gave that final order. He took out Osama bin Laden. So he gets credit for it. I get that.
I would say it's a little bit more complicated, just because he was hiding in Pakistan. So he didn't ask for. He didn't try to take any diplomatic approach, man. We invaded Pakistan, which we're not supposed to do. And he gave the green light to do that, man. So,
I'm not taking any credit away from the fact that on his watch, Osama bin Laden got killed. I don't care whose watch it is. If he's gone, things should be better. But anyway, I'm looking at, our time goes by so fast, Jamal, it seems like, anyway. All right. You've been listening to Jim and Jamal Potts on Listen Up. It's time to close out the show. But do us a favor. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Until then. Until next week, you guys, we want you to be safe out there. Any closing remarks very quickly, Jamal?
No, everybody be vigilant, be safe out there. Always be aware of your surroundings. Keep your head on the swivel.
All right, everybody. Thank you. Until next week.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.